The state of missions. How many would agree that sometimes the goal of missions as found in the Word of God gets a little foggy? Anyone at all? Can I get a witness on that at all? Witness. I got a witness. All right. We are going to be entering into our last time into why missions. And what I'm going to need from you is a little bit of mercy and grace. So, if you are willing to extend to me a little mercy and grace, because this is a subject, sweet Lord, you are close up here. Did I do something wrong? This is an elder, by the way. I've been pretty good for the most part. Not much at all. But if you're willing to show me grace and mercy on this, because we are in a subject where everyone kind of has their interests. So with an affirm of mercy and grace, if you can extend that to me, please say mercy. If you can't, just say he's the worst. I heard these whispers go through here. Let's open in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would teach us your word, that we would submit our lives to you, to one another. Father, you came to earth to bring glory to your Father and then gave your life up as a sacrifice. Father, we are here to bring glory to the Father and to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. These are your sheep, of which I am one. You are the shepherd. I am not. Lord, I am your under-shepherd. And Father, I pray that my voice would only echo yours. Lord, I pray that you would prepare the hearts of my church family to hear what you have laid on my heart through prayer and through study. And Father, that I would be prepared to submit to what you have for me in my life, in our life. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me my sins, as they are many. Lord, I am going through this journey called Christianity like everyone else in this room. Father, may we love one another as you have loved us. And I pray this and I ask this in your Son's precious and holy name. If you're awake this morning, say amen. Amen. All right. Over the past 3 weeks, we have looked at three major premises. It's really almost been 4 weeks as it's been a major theme in our next five-year vision. But we looked at three major premises of the mission and the church. The mission and the church. We first looked at what the foundation of healthy missions looks like. All right? The foundation of missions is a strong, healthy, vibrant, gospel-loving home church. And after we talked about the foundation, we talked about the what is missions and who is it we should send. What is missions and what should the church prioritize? The church should prioritize gospel proclaiming, discipleship making, church gathering missionaries in this world. Now I want to take a moment to expand on that briefly this morning. This does not mean that the church should not support local outreach. Of course, we should. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't support evangelism to our nation from its missions budget. I'm not saying that those things shouldn't be a part of who we are and what we do. Of course, they should. But that the priority of the mission-sending unit of the church should be to send missionaries that leave our people groups to proclaim the gospel, to disciple those who receive it by faith, and add them back into the local church so that the local church can strengthen and train and birth out more people to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's God's plan. But our plans kind of get in there as well. It's putting a missions budget together and a spending plan that prioritizes things into tiers of importance. And we'll be talking about this at a later in the message. But then we finally talked about the who. Who is it that the church should send? The church should only send those who are loving, faithful, and fruitfully participating in their home church. My friend, why in the world would God call anyone into full-time ministry if they are not already faithfully ministering within the church? How could God be calling any of us, including me, to something like this if we're not doing it where He has already commanded us to do it faithfully? My friends, churches are where faithful missionaries are made. It's where faithful missionaries are made. And now that we have gone over these things, the question that rises is how? How do we do this? How do we do this so that we don't get lost? How is it that we do this so that if everything is missions, then nothing is missions? How do we focus on past the good on the best? This is the hardest part of missions in the church. If the goal is to invest more money into, if our goal, which is what it is for the next 5 years, if our goal is to invest more money into missions and missionaries here at Trinity, which is what we want to do, we have to get our missions house in order. Not that it's in some sort of chaos, but we have to build an infrastructure that is going to hold that which we want to do. Because the Lord has given us more. And when you get more, there is more responsibility. Amen? How someone manages $20 is going to look remarkably different than how they manage $20 million. Can I get a witness on that? We have more responsibility. Now, this can be very painful. It can be very painful to do this. Because healthy missions is about prioritizing the goal and making the best decisions over many good decisions. Did you grab that? We must make the best decisions in a sea of good decisions. Satan's tactic within the church and its missions is to overwhelm it with good things. To overwhelm it with good things. Church, our resources are not endless. Our energy is not infinite. Therefore, we must choose the best over the good. Amen? It's what we have to do in our own lives. Our lives, while there are a series of sinful decisions, our lives predominantly are going to be guided whether or not we choose best over good. And hopefully that over that which is evil. I got to tell you, it's a hard thing to do. Because it forces us to make decisions that are hard. Oftentimes people will say, and this goes not just Trinity, but church in its universal state, well, we're just being cheap. We need to give more money to missions. Well, and we need to be concerned that we are not being those things. But I also find often that when those words are spoken, hey, just more money and let's not be cheap, it's because we don't want to have to make any hard decisions. Therefore, just give more money. Just more, throw more money at it so we don't have to make any hard decisions. My friends, this is called the federal budget. Can I get a witness on that? We can't afford that. What's that got to do with anything? Just print more money. God does not allow us to do that. We have to be good stewards of what He has given us. Keeping things running well requires tough decisions. If I may, for a moment, with humility, every week of my life, I have about 500 bosses. There's two of them right there. They don't have a clue of how to do things. All right, no, I'm teasing. I don't either. But every week of my life, I've got to sit in front of people or on the phone with people or knowing of things and constantly decide what I'm going to say yes to and what I'm going to say no to with the help of the elders and mentors in order to keep the church in a healthy state, which means I have to say no more times than yes. What would this church look like if I said yes to everyone's desires? What would this church look like if I said yes to all my desires? Got to make tough decisions. You ever open your closet and it's so full of stuff, you can't find anything in it? Why are you laughing? This is you, isn't it? Eric, is this her? She's not able to throw things away, is she? She's not able to make choices. In my, how many here have a utensil drawer at your home that you have to like, just do this with, all right? Because your wife, not Amy, okay, this is a generic example, needs all seven spatulas in that drawer, and we can part with none of them. Just had to scratch that itch, all right? Have you ever, do we have seven spatulas, honey? Probably, she says. I'm guilty on different things, like not spending money, all right? Amy's got to pry that out of my hand. I'm like, do we really need health care? I mean, really? We're all healthy today. You ever open that closet at home and it's so full of stuff, you can't even, it doesn't even accomplish what its goal is. What is the goal of a closet other than to hide things? What is the goal of the closet? Amy, I see you shaking your head. What's the goal of the closet? What's that? Hide things? No, that's sin, all right? Teasing, Amy, teasing. It's what? To organize things. I've actually been in your closet.
Yes, you
have. It is absolutely astonishing. Almost everything is black and gray. You're wearing black and gray. On a hanger, 2 inches apart, evenly spread. And what is normally someone's entire house, or her closet, no, I'm teasing. Highly organized. So when you get up in the morning, you can prepare and make decisions to move forward. Now, we will have closets that are so crammed full of stuff, it actually prevents us from finding things. And it's designed to help us find things. It's designed to organize and have something available. And we open it up and you're just like, oh my word, where do I begin? Can't even get ready in the morning. Because things are so out of order. The only way to do or to fix this is to prioritize what's in that closet. You might even have to, now dare I say it, we might even have to, in order to get the closet running the way it was intended to run, Jennifer, you might have to, for you, Eric, you might have to, here it is, no longer keep something. It's hard though, isn't it? You ever try to get your closet in order and you find things you never thought you had? All of a sudden you find Jimmy Hoffa. I got to call Geraldo. Those of you who were born before 1990 or know what I'm talking about. The rest of you are literally Googling that right now. What is this psychotic man talking about? Or you come along an outfit. Don't lie. You come along an outfit. You come along an outfit that you haven't worn in years, but it gives you warm feelings. What's that? Hachu? I don't know what you're talking about. All of a sudden you come along something you haven't worn in years. I wore this suit the night I told your mother I loved her. And you convince yourself you should keep it because someday you're going to fit into it again and it will be of use. Can I tell you something? No, you won't. And no, it will not. It won't. It's gone. Your body changes and it's not going back. Can I get a witness? And that's okay. That's life. That's life. Just accept it. So does the church. So does its missions. We keep things simply because we're unable to make uncomfortable decisions. Meanwhile, by doing this, our closet is working against our goal. It is so packed full of good things that all those good things work against you every time you go to it. Tell me this doesn't reflect on the missions budget and the goals of the church. Hey, Trinity, what's your goal? What's your vision? What's your plan? What's your rubrics? How is it you're going to achieve that which you want to achieve in missions? And what is your goal? And our answer is everything. Listen, if everything is your goal, then you have no goal. Amen? Which direction are you heading? All of them. Going to all of them. Guess where you're going? Talk to me.
Nowhere.
This is common sense stuff from God's Word. And we're going to get to God's Word in a moment here. We pack it full of good things to the point there is no room for what it really should be holding. Here are some hard words. And you've already promised me mercy and grace. I'm going to hold you to it with no mercy and grace. My friends, too often the missions budget is filled with zeal for good things, but ultimately reveals a foolishness of committing to every good thing. And let there be no mistake, at some point we have to remember that too many good things will sink the very ship in which they float on. If a life raft, here's a question, if a life raft can carry 8 people and you want to fill it with 20 people, what happens to the life raft, class? Talk to me. No longer a life raft. How often within the church, generically speaking, but including Trinity, because hey, it doesn't do us any good to talk about someone else and not apply it to ourselves. I said that fast, didn't I? But here it is. How often do we fill our missions, goals, vision, plan, budget with so much stuff that it ceases to accomplish what it was designed to do? If we fill missions with every good thing, missions sinks. Now, we have to prioritize, we have to focus, we have to decide what is the most important in our church missions. And we'll say amen to that. Apparently not, but some of us might. But the moment we actually have to do it, all of us, if I say in missions we have to make tough decisions and all of God's people said what? Because life is full of tough what? And if you don't make decisions over good versus best, you find yourself in trouble. And we'll say amen to stuff like that. But the moment we actually have to do it, we freeze. Unable to let go of that high school suit that may warm our heart but defeat the purpose. This is why so many churches only collect missionaries and ministries, but never evaluate or remove them from anything other than gross moral failure, and then even sometimes not that. How is that prioritizing missions? How is it? It's not. Trinity, it may be emotionally wrenching for many of us, but we need to evaluate our missionaries, our ministries, our priorities, and our goals and decide if we keep, if we improve, or if we let go what is in our closet so that it can do what it's designed to do. Amen? That's hard. But that's hard. So the first question that rises is how? How do we do this? Well, I think there are 3 major ways that come from Scripture. And I want to also credit a book I've been reading while doing this called Missions in the Local Church. And it's actually in your handout. In it's sourced for you there in your handout or your bulletin handout. So the first one is this. First thing we need to do is prioritize. And if you agree with this, I want you to agree with this. How's that? Okay. First, do they know their Bible well? Amen? I've literally talked to churches where there's a missionary who's not sharing the gospel, doesn't believe the same things the church does, and it's brought up, and someone's response was, well, they really don't teach doctrine or the gospel. Then please pray tell me, why are they on our budget? Do they know their Bible well? Are they able to articulate the gospel in a clear and effective way? And make sure that this theology they understand is not just a head knowledge where they can pass a test. They should be able to understand and live out the truth of what the church is, who Christ is and His church, and what it is to do. Second, we must prioritize missionaries that are interested in gospel proclamation to those who are in unreached people groups for the purpose of gathering them into the church. This is what the heartbeat of the Apostle Paul was. Now, many of us have different definitions as to what unreached people groups are. So let's just use common sense. What is an unreached people group? Paul's going to tell us here. So let's define what is meant through Scripture, not Brett Boomsma's opinion or our emotional ties. Let's look what Paul says. The majority of the leaning of all of Paul's teaching as it relates to missions says this. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ is not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. I want you to notice the priority here. Let's highlight these. Where the gospel of Christ is not known, and those who were not told about him will see, and there's one even underneath it, who have not heard will understand. The priority of missions through Paul from the church. Now, according to Nine Marks Ministry, in a book called Missions Partnership, it says this: only a tiny portion of Christian missionaries labor in the least reached areas of the world. The remaining 80% of Christian missionaries work among people where significant gospel access is there and many established churches. This ought to strike us. We are sending nearly 80% of our missionaries to locations where people are surrounded by churches and thousands of other Christians, and sending fewer and fewer missionaries to places where the gospel is hardly available. Let me put this into a picture for you. And this will warm our hearts, because we all want this to be back in Michigan, right? Imagine if I said, Trinity, our missions budget can dig 10 wells. Now, water is going to represent the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? We're going to dig 10 wells. We can do this well with 10 wells. And imagine if I said, we're going to dig 10 wells, but we only have two locations really here. But we're going to dig 8 wells on the coast of Lake Michigan. And we're going to dig 2 wells in Niger, Africa. How many would say this makes perfect sense? 80% of Christian marriages, 80% of Christian missionaries are serving where the gospel is saturated. 20% go where it's hardly available. Now, do people on the coast, this is a question I want you to answer this. Do people on the coast of Lake Michigan need water? Yes or no? No. Yeah, they need water. But I understand what you're saying. It's there. It's available. And say, yes, yeah, they need water. But what does common sense tell us? What should be our priority? Those on the coast of Lake Michigan have a great deal of water already available to them, and people bringing it to them. Those in Niger barely have any clean water and almost no one to bring it to them. How often do we send missionaries to locations where the gospel is plentiful and not where it is absent? Yet we do this with the gospel. Paul's overwhelming teaching in the New Testament as it relates to missions is to spread the gospel, here it is, to those who have not been told where it is not accessible. Send out! Number 3. Do they come highly recommended by their sending church? Not only financially with support, but intimate church involvement. If we are going to have missions that is effective, purposeful, and powerful, we must be willing to put our missions house in order. We must be willing to make hard decisions with our support. The demise of effective missions within the church is not merely a lack of money, but rather an acceptance of every good thing that comes down our path. We must prioritize, clean, evaluate, and then invest robustly with both financially and relationally into our mission's heartbeat. My friends, the heart of obedience to the Great Commission is to send and support gospel workers to gather people into churches across ethnic, cultural, and geographical boundaries. If this is not our priority, and we are just supporting every good thing that comes our way, we have lost the mission's way. But let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. This does not mean that we should not support local, national, and evangelistic outreaches. We should, as a church, within our mission's budget. We should. It just means there has to be priorities. Do you have a priority in your house budget? Give me the priority in your health budget. Give me a couple categories. Mortgage. That is a top priority, isn't it? What's another one? Food. Clothes. I have the same outfit for the last 15 years, but utilities, food, mortgages, insurance. Do you ever go into your budget and go, today I am going to allocate my mortgage towards entertainment, and entertainment will go towards my mortgage? No! There has to be priorities. Christ chose priorities on where he went, who he spoke to, how he spent his time, and even how he spent his money. Although, Judas, let's move forward. We have to have priorities. It just means that. Once we have done what God has commanded in Scripture, then we can look to do more. So how does this look at Trinity? What will we do? What mechanisms? Now, some of us love those, that word right there. What are the mechanisms we will use to help avoid these unintended pitfalls? I want to spend just a short amount of time, and if you're a visitor with us this morning, I apologize, we're doing a little in-depth house observation here, but at the same time, be encouraged. I hope that you find yourself in a church that wants to have a purpose, a goal, a meaning, and obedience to the shepherd's voice. Amen, church? Some practical goals to avoid these pitfalls of just supporting all that is good. I want to spend a short amount of time showing you some practical applications we are doing to prioritize and make missions about what is best, not about a collection of good or emotionally satisfying decisions. First is our spending budget. How's that for a fun time? Our spending plan. By the way, spending plans, budgets are acts of worship. It is an act of worship. It sets priorities based on God's word and stewardship rather than our immediate desires and appetites. The quickest way for a church, the quickest way for an individual, a quickest way for a family, a quickest way for anything to become a slave to money is to not worship through the budget of prioritizing God's over our things. Amen? It's prioritizing God's things. The first thing you will notice is that I have recommended that our outreach budget be moved into our missions budget. Because the mission field begins at our doorstep. We should not treat outreach like an outpost of missions. We need to bring it into the limelight of who we are as a church. They belong together. And that's why if you go out towards Michelle's office, you'll see the missions board outside of it says missions and outreach. By pulling these funds into mission, it adds more money into missions budget while at the same time increasing the investment of our local outreach while helping us to set priorities. Now, these numbers you're about to see are actual. So if you disagree with what I'm about to tell you, this is what already exists. It's your fault. Am I? First thing we're going to look at, right now, annually, 70% goes to international missions, and that's the way it should stay. That has to be a priority. Then you see there's local missions outreach. You may say, only 10%? Let me encourage you, this entire church within this community, its budget, its staff, its members, its ministries, its local missions outreach, above and beyond this 10%, by definition, this church is a light to the community. Amen? At least it should be. Now we're going to allocate 10 more to it. Then you look at national missions, about 8%. Short-term missions, 5%. We're going to be painting a school together. Site visits, 5%. Missions promotions and emergency missionary funds, all exciting things, I know. But as you can see, our priority is international missions, followed by local outreach, and then national. By doing this, it helps us make decisions. It protects the Great Commission of the church from being lost by supporting every good thing and prioritizing the best thing with a purposeful plan. Another thing we are doing is to implement all these things. We communicated over the last few weeks, the missions committee and the pastoral staff, in conjunction with the elders, have a purposeful plan and evaluation of who we will support and who we already support. Pastor Jory, who I miss greatly. Pastor Jason, who's still here. Where are you, Pastor Jason? Oh, there you are. Love you, brother. I got to razz him, though. Because now he's, I won't say low on the totem pole, but he's the lowest on the totem pole. Pastor Jory, Pastor Jason, and myself, along with the missions committee, have put together a tool that will help guide us in these goals. This is a tool to help us look at missions through the lens of what the Bible teaches, not what makes us feel good. Not what our gut wants to do. Now, I know this is small, but I want you to read it and set it to memory. Okay, go. No, but I want you to notice, I'll read through this for you here, from top to bottom. You will know, notice, you can see the who, the what, and the where. And ask the right questions. Like, do you agree with the doctrinal position of Trinity? Do you meet 1 Timothy 3 requirements? Can you give a good testimony? Do they have a track record of service within the church? Do they have an education in this area? Do they have a passion for evangelism? Have they shown that within the church? Are they able to teach? Do they have major debt? Do they work with an approved mission agency? Are they church members? What is their connection to Trinity? What is their primary focus of ministry? What is their strategy? Is their ministry viable, or is it constantly sinking under the weight of financial pressures and opportunities? How much is their total support? Is it a strategic location? How reached is the people group? Is there already a church presence in their location? Is the gospel already very available? You will notice, based on the response, that the better the answer, the better the grade. Now, allow me to go through this. So let's look at one in each category. First of all, let's look at the who. We're highlighting it. The who. Will I say, are they able to teach the Bible? Are they a gifted teacher? That's a good thing. Are they able to teach? Okay, they're able to teach. That's medium. That's right there. Can they teach? Debatable. Lacks the ability to teach? No. That makes sense. You will notice that whether they are connected to Trinity is here as well. Being a faithful part of Trinity is important to us. We want to be a person-sending church. But Trinity, it can no longer be the sole reason we support someone. The who is important, but not at the price of the what and the where. Take a look at the what here. What is the primary focus on the field? Is it evangelism and gathering people into the church? Because that scores high. It's a priority within the Word of God. In Paul's teaching, are they training and equipping? That's a good thing. Is it administration? It's needed, but it's not a top priority within missions. Or maybe it's something completely else, and you want to know what? That's a zero. What about the where? The level of need. Are there no biblical churches present? That's huge. Are there a few biblical churches? That's a little bit. What about if there's just a biblical church present? That's a little bit further down. If there are many biblical church present, the gospel is already available. Are we going to dig a well by Lake Michigan? This helps us see the whole picture past the emotional desire to say yes to everything. You will see that at the bottom, a weak candidate scores about 60 to 70. A strong candidate is 70 to 80. A prime candidate is 80 to 90. Now, this tool also helps us give purposeful interviews with candidates and existing missionaries when they come to visit us. We pull this puppy out and say, hey, do you still agree with us doctrinally? No? Okay. Bye. No, we would be generous. We're looking at a weak severance, all right? No. But these are important questions. Are you able to teach, or am I in a coma within 5 seconds? These are questions we must ask. This is a tool. Trinity, may I encourage you? I want to encourage you. And I want to exhort us as well. We pass these out to everyone who's on the missions committee. Everyone gets one. They fill it out by themselves without the pressure of someone bully pulpiting. And all these people are filled with the same Holy Spirit. And individually, they fill these questions out. Yes, great, medium, low, no. On all of these categories. And they all fill them out individually, all right? Filled with the same Holy Spirit, we then gather them up, add it all up, and divide it by the amount of people in the committee that did it. Now, I need you to hear this. We add them up, we divide it up, giving us the total number. Now, here it is. This does not give us our decision. Because people transcend paper. Amen? People transcend paper. But here's what it is. It doesn't give us our decision. This is not in the end-all, be-all, but it gives us a firm foundation on which to begin. To begin our evaluation of a person or a ministry or the amount of support past how do I feel about this? Because God's word is not about our emotional satisfaction. It is about the pursuit of holiness through obedience to His word alone. So let me encourage you. I need permission. 3/4 vote here. May I have permission to encourage and exhort? All those in favor say, aye. Don't you dare exhort me, Pastor. Say no. Let me encourage you first. We have missionaries we support, both here and around the world, that scored in the high 80s. Folks, we have A-plus missionaries. Do you believe that? You better believe we do. I'm going to exhort you. And me. Because you know what? I've had to green light a lot of these decisions. So let me exhort me. And by green light, I mean get everyone's permission. We have some who scored less than 30. That is an F minus. In order to get there, you got to be in these bottom two lines throughout the entire thing. And that begins the conversation. So the question is, what are we doing? Trinity, missions must be a priority in our church. We must invest in our missions. But this investment must transcend just cutting of checks. It must transcend that of just fulfilling our hearts. It must reach our minds, our vision, and our goals as well. Because the greatest virus to the church and its mission is saying yes to every good thing while evaluating nothing. We must prioritize the who, the best what, and the best where. Church mission starts with a healthy, gospel-loving church that prioritizes the gospel, proclaiming discipleship, making church gathering missions to those who need it the most. We must have a highly organized vision and plan, and we must make the tough decisions so that we might do what Paul prayed the church might be able to do. And here it is, to abound more and more in knowledge and profound insight so that we may able to discern what is what class. Best. Best. So that we may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ. But this doesn't end here. We must continue with all of us on a personal involvement. In your bulletin, there is a handout that Pastor Jason and the Missions Committee has worked on that talks about how you can participate in purposeful missions, even if you're not on the field. I encourage you to read that. And we must have the courage and the heart and the leadership to move our missions to the next rightful place in our church. Church, I love you. I didn't want to give this message. Because when you give messages like this, you don't build a fan base. I love you. I know for some of you, this was a great series. For some of you, it was not. For others, you could not be more bored. But if I am to be your humble under shepherd in this church, I must lead you by echoing the great shepherd's voice. And I believe this does that. This plan adds to our local outreach, prioritizes our Great Commission, gives us direction, and prepares us for more investment. And this must be our goal. Next week, we will begin our verse by verse, chapter by chapter walkthrough of 1 John. Thank you for tolerating me, for showing me mercy and grace. Church, let's have a goal that is best, not good enough. See, when it comes to the mission of the church, we shouldn't be saying, it's a good thing. What we should be saying is this the best? The very best we can do. I love you guys. I hope you're not too ticked. If you have any problems, Cotolo is here. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us direction. Now give us the courage and the mind and the discipline to follow your direction, not our desires. Start with me. Start with me. May I lead by example, not dictation. I pray this in your Son's precious name. Amen. Be reading 1 John. I love you guys. You're dismissed.